Hey friend, welcome to The Ashley O Show. I'm your host, Ashley O'Connor. I'm a registered nurse turned health coach, and I am on a mission to keep people out of the hospital and into healthier lives than they ever thought possible. How? By getting back to the basics, prioritizing mental health, ditching diet culture, and repairing our relationships with food, fitness, and our bodies. Expect unfiltered, unapologetic, and unsugar-coated conversations about building lives, careers, bodies, and minds that are stronger than we could have imagined. The truth is, I don't have it all figured out, but I plan on spending my life searching for answers to the most important questions. This podcast is all about bringing you along for that ride. Now let's go chase some uncertainty. What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Ashley O Show. So today I actually just want to dive a little bit deeper into a weight loss medication that I continuously been getting ads for. I kind of want to just break it down, talk about how it works, and talk about some of the things that I'm seeing as I'm reading through the literature. To preface this, I am not a medical doctor. If you are considering getting on a weight loss medication like this one, please talk to your medical doctor or provider. You guys know that in this space, I talk a lot about healing your relationship with food and your body and exercise. I also talk about people at different sizes being healthy, regardless of that size, that weight is not the only determinant of health. It's sometimes correlated, but we have tons of data showing us that there are people who live in larger bodies, different shaped bodies, different size bodies that are completely healthy when it comes to their blood work, when it comes to their metabolism, when it comes to their hormones, key components that we are concerned about when it comes to chronic diseases. Higher weight does not mean unhealthy. Now, of course, we have research showing us that obesity or being overweight are associated with higher risk of chronic diseases or higher risk of health problems, but that correlation is not causation. The root cause of the higher risk of chronic diseases or any of these other outcomes that we are seeing with somebody who lives in a larger body is typically associated more with how they are fueling themselves, the amount of stress that they are under. Genetics, family history, lack of exercise. There are a number of factors that are more associated with that higher risk of disease than the weight itself. It's not simply about body size, but we are highly focused on body size because we are a culture that glorifies and focuses on the thin ideal. Plus, the method that we use to categorize people as obese or overweight takes into account zero health factors. BMI is the standard. BMI is the standard that we use, and it doesn't tell us anything about our blood pressure, glucose levels, hormones, metabolism, strength or endurance. It's literally just weight in relation to height. We first saw it in the health space when insurance companies started to use it, but then it became widely used by insurance companies and doctors because it was simple. It was an easy equation to do, and then it was adopted by the National Institutes of Health. From there, it was adopted by essentially every other major health organization. But in reality, it's pretty arbitrary. I could go on forever about BMI. I have been categorized for years as overweight based on the BMI standard because I tend to put a lot of muscle on my body. And so my BMI is always higher. And so I'll get pamphlets every time I go to the doctor telling me about how to lose weight, exercise more, reduce my calories. Like, I get pamphlets about this stuff. And I'm like, really? Like, what is this measurement that we are using? It doesn't tell you anything about the health of a person. So you have to remember that that is the standard driving forward when we make these medications, when we make these recommendations. I think it's also pretty telling that if I am categorized as overweight or obese by this BMI standard, that what happens is I get a pamphlet on how to lose weight and I'm sent on my way. Like, that should be a reflection too of our priorities, in especially in Western medicine, that you get categorized in this way, you get a piece of paper and you're sent off. There's really a lack of education. There's really a lack of guidance, of support. We don't focus on what the root cause is of any of these issues. If your weight has become an issue where you do have outcomes like high blood pressure, diabetes, where we want to treat these chronic diseases, we just put pills, we just put band-aids on those conditions. We don't ask why. We don't ask what's going on. We don't ask if there's an emotional component or a mental component, some place that could use more support. Do we need a dietitian? Do we need more therapy? We just love to rely on medications and quick fixes for symptoms instead of root cause. Obviously, I could ramble forever, but this definitely brings me to this medication. It's called Contrave. Now, I am not an expert, as I said. I just want to talk about this medication because I keep getting ads for it. And so because I keep getting ads, I looked it up. I did more research. I was looking through research papers, trying to understand the mechanism of action, its results, and how it works. Because this is being pushed to me right now. So I want to know. And so I want to share what I found with you, with the caveat of you knowing that I am not a scientist, that I am not a doctor. But I think we should be able to critically talk about these things that show up on our social media feed if they're going to show up as often as they do. So Contrave is a medication that has two components, bupropion and naltrexone. I'm going to struggle with the word bupropion this whole time, so bear with me. But that is a antidepressant. It's an SSRI that is often used to treat depression. It's also used to treat smoking addiction. It's used in that support as well. And then naltrexone is an opioid antagonist that is often used to help people who have opioid addictions. It's also used with alcoholism to help disrupt the effect of these medications and the addiction pathway. So right off the bat, I feel like you hear what those medications do and you're like, what does this have to do with weight loss, right? Like those are two random medications, but it's how they work together that is what's being marketed here. Apparently they work really well synergistically together to help to curb cravings and decrease hunger. Now, I've gone down a deep rabbit hole when it comes to trying to truly understand the mechanism of action of both of these medications and how they work together. So I'm not going to go crazy into that aspect because I don't think that that is very useful in this space. If you are considering getting on this medication, I encourage you to really dive in and understand how this works in your body. But I do want to point out one thing that I think is concerning from a perspective of someone who is working in the space of trying to heal relationships with food. And that is that by adding naltrexone, by adding an opioid antagonist, we are blocking opioid receptors in the brain. And I want to just explain that a little bit. So for someone who is struggling with addiction, who is taking pain medications, heroin, an opioid antagonist binds to their opioid receptors in their brain, which blocks the effects of those drugs that they are taking. So they don't get the euphoric effect, they don't get the pain reducing effect, and that thereby reduces the cravings for the medication because they don't get the effect that they are desiring from it. But in a healthy individual who is not taking these medications regularly, we have our own endogenous, so internally made opioids that our body creates. Endorphins, for example, right? You know, you've heard about endorphins. Those are chemicals that produce pleasure and also reduce pain in the body that we naturally create. But if we take this medication that blocks those receptors, we can also assume that it's going to block those pleasure and pain reducing chemicals that our body naturally creates. And based on the advertisements for this drug, yes, that is exactly what's going to happen. And that is one of the effects that they're intending. So they advertise this as something that reduces the pleasure associated with food and with eating food. So that will help reduce cravings is what they are saying. But I just wonder how our relationship with food will be if we remove any pleasure from eating. That is a huge component of a healthy relationship with food. It's also a huge component of culture. It's a huge component of joy for a lot of people, is in eating and enjoying food. Food is not simply fuel. And I don't think it's great for us to treat it that way. I know we've been told that that is how we should look at it. But how many fond and beautiful memories do you have just because you're eating a certain food? How much nostalgia do you feel when you eat something that you ate when you were a child? When you're gathered around a table with people you love eating food, there's so much pleasure associated with just the act of eating and the act of enjoying food that this medication is one that is blocking that exact experience. And once more, I understand that that's its intention because they are targeting people who struggle with food cravings. But as we said earlier, what is the root cause of those uncontrolled cravings? What is going on that is actually what's happening? Instead of just blocking the effect, could we understand why a person is experiencing uncontrollable cravings and uncontrollable binges? And on that same note, there is a screening process where they're saying, who is this medication not for? If you read through that list over and over, it's saying, you should not take this medication if you have anorexia or bulimia. They specifically point out those two eating disorders with zero mention of binge eating disorder, which is actually one of the most common forms of an eating disorder. And it makes you kind of wonder why. Why is it that this medication is contraindicated in an individual who has anorexia or bulimia, but is not contraindicated in an individual who has binge eating disorder? So if we dig into those disorders, anorexia is categorized by periods of restriction. Bulimia is categorized by episodes of binging and purging behavior. So purging being use of laxatives, diuretics, intentional vomiting. And then binge eating disorder is categorized by episodes of binging, but does not include the purging behaviors. So what's the big difference between these three eating disorders? These are the most common. There are others, but these are the ones that are talked about the most. So anorexia, people who are anorexic typically are either normal or underweight. People who are bulimic are typically normal weight or underweight. People who have binge eating disorder are often overweight or obese. And this isn't always black and white. People who have different eating disorders have different body types all the time. But it's interesting to me that this medication is contraindicated in those two eating disorders that tend to have smaller bodies, but is not contraindicated in the eating disorder that of a person who has a larger body. Each of these disorders, every eating disorder, is a psychiatric condition. It is not simply an issue with willpower. It is not an issue with discipline. It is an often debilitating and dangerous psychiatric condition, which is why those with an eating disorder are often excluded from any weight loss studies, because it's not safe for an individual who has this type of psychiatric condition to be given a medication or to be given a protocol to lose weight, because they already have an issue with their relationship with food and their bodies, with exercise, an unhealthy obsession with these things. It's also interesting to consider that an individual with bulimia, an individual with binge eating disorder, that the only difference, the biggest difference between those two conditions is that one individual is engaging in purging behaviors after they binge, and the other individual is not. So if we just look at those two by themselves, why is it that an individual with bulimia should not take this medication, but an individual with binge eating disorder can take this medication? I just think it's interesting. I just think it's important to look at, because one of the biggest things that I can see in the difference between those two individuals is that one of them often lands in a larger body. Even though both conditions are dangerous, both conditions can cause severe harm to the body and also have severe impacts on mental health. Both conditions. But I think it's interesting that if the individual with binge eating disorder is struggling with their weight, or if they're being categorized as overweight or obese based on a ridiculous standard of BMI, that trumps their mental health, that trumps the effects of the binge eating disorder. This just speaks to the idea that we prioritize weight loss and size over anything else. It's lose weight at any cost, even if there's a huge risk involved. Because we know that binge eating disorder, any eating disorder, is very dangerous for the individual, and they are all psychiatric conditions. So taking a medication that reduces cravings, that messes with your appetite, that really messes with your relationship with food and your body, will not help with the eating disorder, will not help that individual get through that eating disorder or recover. If anything, it's going to exacerbate symptoms. It could increase the severity of the disorder because it's fucking with your relationship with food. And it's perpetuating the idea that you are only worthy and good enough if you are in a smaller body, which is at the core of a lot of these eating disorders. So obviously, I could rant about that simple fact on its own for a long period of time. But to me, that's just one giant red flag for this medication. And it doesn't stop there. Another thing that I thought was interesting is that Contrave itself in its clinical trials is gloating this idea that it helps individuals lose 5% of their body weight over a year. And in one of the many articles written about this medication, they reflect on this idea that, yeah, you know, 5% might not sound like a lot for an individual who's carrying a lot of extra weight, but though that 5% was associated with a ton of benefits when it came to chronic disease and their health markers in general. But you have to remember that this medication is given in clinical trials along with lifestyle changes, along with eating differently, exercise. Sometimes they also added things like mental health support as well. And while maybe this medication helped them stick to the protocol that they were meant to stick to, it's almost impossible to determine if the improved health effects were determined by the medication or by the lifestyle changes. And yes, while in these studies, they have control groups that only did the lifestyle changes, and those individuals may have lost less weight, that was the focus. We only talked about the weight that was lost, not about all the other health effects. So by adding in healthy and positive behaviors, that can improve health even if you don't lose weight. So I just think it's really interesting that the focus when it comes to these weight loss medications is simply on the numbers and not always on the other effects that happen from adding in healthy behaviors into your routine. And I'm not naive. I realize that it's a weight loss drug. It's going to talk about the weight loss itself. But I think if we can look at these types of articles, look at these types of advertisements, and critically review the information that we're receiving, we could make more informed decisions and also notice patterns, like the idea that improved health behaviors and adding in exercise and mental health support improved health outcomes, instead of simply just focusing on the number on the scale or the inches around the waist. And the testimonials themselves, I also think, could be concerning, because the consistent message amongst each of the testimonials is this idea that they were miserable before they started taking the medication, and now they're happy, that they hated going to the store and hated their bodies, and now they like them more. So it's perpetuating this idea that our worth is associated with our weight, that we can't be happy unless we are smaller. I think we need to stop that bogus idea. I think we need to stop this pattern of thinking and this pattern of behavior. Your worth is not determined by your weight. You can be happy at any size if we can get to the bottom of what's going on. If we can heal some of these relationships, you can be happy regardless of the weight that you are. But we are living in a society that tells us that it prefers smaller bodied people, and that smaller bodied individuals get to be happy, get to be wealthy, get to be successful, get to be beautiful, and that if you don't fit into a smaller body, that you don't get any of those things, that you will be able to be happy and healthy and beautiful and worthy and successful if you lose weight, but only then. We have to wait in order to enjoy and live our lives and feel good once we fit into a smaller body. I think we just gotta end this cycle. I think we just have to say that that's bullshit, because it is. The testimonials also have individuals saying things like, I always experience uncontrollable hunger and uncontrollable cravings, and I always thought there was something wrong with me, but now I took Contrave and it's all fixed. But in reality, it's not fixed. If you stop taking the medication, you have the same behaviors and the same patterns sitting there. Because if it's truly an issue like binge eating disorder, where you have uncontrollable hunger and uncontrollable cravings, you haven't fixed the binge eating disorder. You're just taking a medication, which just reflects the Western medical system right now. You come to us with a symptom, we give you a medication. We don't wonder why you have the symptom. We don't wonder what's going on. It's not about the root cause. It's about a quick fix. And that is what we also glorify in our society, are quick fixes. So I could literally spend hours on this one medication, but I want to remind you, it's not about Contrave. It's not about this one medication. And if you talk to your medical team, if you talk to your providers and your support system, and you figure out that, yes, Contrave is the right medication for you in order to live the life that you want, and that it's the best choice, I think that that's great if you do it safely. But I also want you to look at all of these advertisements, look at everything being pushed to you critically, because you are your own advocate as a patient. So I just think that we should question everything. I think that we should get all of the information and make sure that we understand it before we take a medication, before we undergo surgery, to figure out if there's an alternative, to figure out if there's something else going on, to figure out if there's a deeper root cause that we actually need to focus on first before we just put a Band-Aid on something. Because when you put a Band-Aid on an open wound, it gets worse. It doesn't just heal, you've just hidden it from your sight. So my concern with a medication like Contrave is that that's exactly what's going on. It's a Band-Aid. And it's being put on people who shouldn't have that Band-Aid put on them. Not only is this Band-Aid being put on someone who has an unhealthy relationship with food and their bodies and exercise up until this point, but it's also being put on people who have mental health conditions. Safely. We're saying that that's okay to do. To put a Band-Aid on a psychiatric disorder when that is the last thing that we should be doing. So if you choose to take a medication like Contrave, the thing I want you to take from this is to ask every question, understand what this medication is. And this is true for any weight loss medication. But I also want you to make sure that you have all of the support around you during this journey. It's not about just taking a pill and getting a quick fix. You need to make sure that you're working with professionals who support you. I'm talking about mental health support, registered dietitians, therapists, integrative practitioners. I'm talking about other people outside of just your family medical doctor who are supporting you in a journey if you are taking a medication like this one. And they can be there even if you choose not to take this medication. I think that that is the team that we really need to help support us in any journey that we're going through when it comes to our beautiful bodies. It shouldn't just be one provider telling us the answers. So obviously this got me really fired up and I didn't even get through half of the notes that I have here, but I hope that you listened to this and just started to ask your own questions. Like I said, I'm not an expert on all of this. I am not a medical provider, but I am and always will be a patient advocate. As a patient, you should feel empowered to understand what you're doing or putting into your body, to ask all of the questions that you need to ask, to gather your own data, to understand the research, because your body is an amazing thing. And we are the ones that have to take care of our bodies. Anyways, guys, if no one else has told you today, you are amazing. You're doing an incredible job. You are enough. You have enough. And you are doing enough. Remember that through the rest of this week. And I will see you next time. Thank you so much for allowing me to take up a little bit of your brain space today. Like, seriously, it means the world to me. If you connected with this episode, it would be amazing if you could share it with your friends and tag me at Ashley O Show so that I can personally thank you. That way, we can build an army of badass women who believe in themselves that will take the world by storm. I cannot wait to see what we make possible.